भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। कृष्णे स्वधामोपगते धनमग्नानादिभिः सह कलौ नष्टतृषाम् एष पुराणार्कोऽधुनोदितः। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की जय। दिस इज कैंटो 6 चैप्टर 2 एंटाइटल्ड अजामिला डिलीवर्ड बाय द विष्णुरूतस एंड टुडे वी आर ऑन टेक्स्ट्स 47 थ्रू 49। बिलीव 47 इज ऑन द बोर्ड ये एतम परमं गुह्यम। सो वी विल चैंट टुगेदर या एतम परमं गुह्यम। य एतं परमं गोह्यम् इतिहासम् अघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गोह्यम् इतिहासम् अघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्याम् इतिहासमगापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। लेडीस् य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। य एतं परमं गुह्यम् इतिहासमघापहम् श्रणुयाच्छ्रद्धया युक्तो यश्च भक्त्यानुकीर्तयेत्। Yaitam panamam gohyam itihasam aghapaham shrinuyat shridhaya yukto yasya bhaktyanu kirtiyet. Anyone who etam this paramam very guhyam confidential itihasam historical narration akha apaham which frees one from all reactions to sins shrinuyat hears shraddhaya with faith yuktaha endowed yah one who cha also bhaktya with great devotion anukirtayet repeats. Now this text is joined with number 48, so I'll just chant 48 and you can do that. Navaid sanarakam yati nekshito yamakinkaraihi yadi api amangalo martyo vishnu loke mahiyate. Let's just do the translation here. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the orders of Yamaraj do not approach him, even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home, back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. Please repeat. Because this very confidential historical narration has the potency to vanquish all sinful reactions, one who hears or describes it with faith and devotion is no longer doomed to hellish life, regardless of his having a material body and regardless of how sinful he may have been. Indeed, the Yamadutas who carry out the orders of Yamaraj do not approach him even to see him. After giving up his body, he returns home, back to Godhead, where he is very respectfully received and worshipped. There is no purport, so we'll go on to text 49, a fairly well-known verse, famous oft-quoted verse. Mriyamano harirnam grinan putropacharitam ajami lopya gadham kim uta shuddhaya grinan. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamil chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Let's repeat this together also. While suffering at the time of death, Ajamila chanted the holy name of the Lord. And although the chanting was directed toward his son, he nevertheless returned home, back to Godhead. Therefore, if one faithfully and inoffensively chants the holy name of the Lord, where is the doubt that he will return to Godhead? Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. At the time of death, one is certainly bewildered because his bodily functions are in disorder. At that time, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name of the Lord may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. Nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name of the Lord loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it is quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be properly able to chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. In conclusion, one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home, back to Godhead, without a doubt. Om Ajnana Timanantasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namah Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadama Hyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guroho Sri Yatapadakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganar Gunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalata Sri Vishakhanvitamscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sintho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prahunityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivas Adi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. This purport is, the purport to text 49 is salient because there's an apparent contradiction. It would seem that Srila Prabhupada does say in the beginning that at the time of death, even one who throughout his life has practiced chanting the holy name may not be able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly. And at the same time, Srila Prabhupada concludes that one who chants the holy name of the Lord constantly is guaranteed to return home back to Godhead without a doubt. There is no contradiction here, actually, because Srila Prabhupada says that even if a person is not able to chant the Hare Krishna mantra very distinctly at the time of death, quote, nevertheless, such a person receives all the benefits of chanting the holy name, end quote. While the body is fit, therefore, why should we not chant the holy name loudly and distinctly? If one does so, it's quite possible that even at the time of death, he will be able to properly chant the holy name of the Lord with love and faith. So the key words here, according to Jeev Goswami and Sridhar Swami, are, well, mriyamana means to be in the process of dying. And I think it was Sridhar Swami uses the word avashaktvena, even though one is overpowered, because death is an overpowering experience. Not death, even there are so many experiences in this material world that overpower us. In fact, on a daily basis, we're overpowered. So, therefore, the necessity is to chant very carefully during this lifetime. Everything is tested. Whatever bhajan we do, whatever worship or sankirtana we perform, it's all tested at the time of death. And there's really no guarantee, except for causeless mercy. So this is the key. If Krishna is very kind to us, then whether we're able to chant or not, then we receive the benefits of chanting the holy name in any case. And it seems that this whole narration actually is intended to show us just how kind Lord Krishna is to anyone who chants his holy name. Lord Krishna thinks that when he hears someone chanting his holy name, this person has taken shelter of me. This person is now my ward. I'm responsible for him. I have to deliver him. So in that spirit, we can understand Srila Prabhupada's purport. Now, there are some additional notes to this chapter. We've already read them in connection with texts 9 and 10, because they paraphrase the commentaries on those verses. But Srila Prabhupada saw fit to include them here, and Srila Prabhupada's books are also otherwise full of repetition of the same thing, so we can read them again. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary in texts 9 and 10 of this chapter form a dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Someone may say, in commentarial Sanskrit, you have what we call a purvapakshi, first objector, person who raises his hand and has some doubt. So that's what's being introduced here, is being paraphrased. Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord, one becomes freed from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if one commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once, but many, many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins, even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible, then, that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord, one immediately becomes freed from the reactions of such sins? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur replies by quoting verses 9 and 10 of this chapter. Quote, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for a thief of gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for one who indulges in sex with the wife of the guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for one who murders women, the king, or his father, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, although this is not called atonement. Let me read that again. One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, although this is not called atonement. Ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse his heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful acts. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Shastras, it is said that if a person only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward and is always inclined to give him protection. This is confirmed by Sridhar Swami. Thus, when Ajamila was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamaraj, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him. And because Ajamila was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu Dutas spoke on his behalf. Ajamila had named his son Narayana, and because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again. Although he was calling for his son, the name itself was powerful because the name Narayana is not different from the Supreme Lord, Narayana. When Ajamila named his son Narayana, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized. And as he continued calling his son and thus chanted the holy name of Narayana thousands of times, he was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness. One may argue, since he was constantly chanting the name of Narayana, how is it possible for him to be associating with a prostitute and thinking of wine? Another Purvapakshi. By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again. And therefore, one may say that his ultimate chanting of Narayana was the cause of his being freed. Everybody got this? In other words, he wasn't being purified because of his sinful activities, one may say. He wasn't being purified step by step throughout his life, and it was only the last moment of chanting that actually saved him. However, his chanting would then have been a nam aparadha. Nam no balad yasya hi pava buddhihi. One who continues to act sinfully and tries to neutralize his sins by chanting the holy name of the Lord is a nama aparadhi, an offender to the holy name. In response, it may be said that Ajamila's chanting was inoffensive because he did not chant the name of Narayana with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He did not know that he was addicted to sinful actions. Nor did he know that his chanting of the name of Narayana was neutralizing them. Thus, he did not commit a nama aparadha. And his repeated chanting of the holy name of Narayana, while calling his son, may be called pure chanting. That's really something. Because of this pure chanting, Ajamila unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruits, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamila's devotional service grew little by little, and therefore, although he committed very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him. In the Shastras, it is said that if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of his past, present, and or future sinful life do not affect him. To give another example, if one extracts the poison fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the results of the chanting to mature in due course of time. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the sixth canto, second chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled Ajamila, delivered by the Vishnudutas. Particularly in these supplementary notes, there are a number of points. It's a fantastic elaboration by Srila Prabhupada. First of all, the question is raised that how is it possible that someone can become freed from his sins just by once chanting the holy name? And the answer is that just by chanting the holy name, that acts as atonement, although it's much more than just atonement. Atonement only cleans your slate for one life and doesn't clean your heart. Chanting the holy name also cleans your slate, but it also cleans your heart. And then the second doubt is also raised that Since Ajamila was constantly chanting the name of Narayana, how is it possible for him to be engaged in such sinful activities? How could he be purified through that chanting of the holy name? Therefore, it was his last utterance of the name of Narayana that actually purified him. That would seem to be supported here in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because the last few verses we've been reading, they're emphasizing the fact that sadya vimukto, he was immediately liberated. So we have to interpret that somehow in order to understand this. Srila Prabhupada, on the other hand, seems to indicate that that would have made him a nama aparadhi. And in response, it may be said that Jamana's chanting was inoffensive because he didn't chant the name of Narayan with a purpose of counteracting his sins. He didn't even know that he was being sinful. He wasn't aware of it. That's the nature of being covered by tamoguna, in which one is inclined to sin through ignorance. So to that, we might doubt that, well, wait a minute, we hear that even if you don't know that fire burns, still you're burned, isn't it? We say this. So how is it that he was purified? And the only answer is that the holy name itself does have this potency, and the name will act as he wishes. Now, there's a final doubt that I would raise in this regard. Srila Prabhupada mentions in the Chaitanya Charitamrita with regards to the Mayavadis of Banaras, who were chanting names such as Chaitanya, Vibhu, Narayana, Atma, indirect names of the Supreme Lord. And Prabhupada mentions there that they actually never came in contact with the holy name at all, even though the holy name is not different from the Lord. So that's something to consider also. It is possible to chant this holy name without chanting the holy name. We, therefore, our acharyas make a distinction between Shuddhanam and Namabhasa. Because they were offenders, and that seems to be the difference. Jamila was not an offender. That's clear, what Srila Prabhupada says here. And because he wasn't an offender, therefore, his chanting may be called pure chanting. He unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti. So it would seem that this is a case of jnata sukriti. Now, we know, with regards to this idea that he was sadhyane mukta, immediately liberated, he actually wasn't immediately liberated because he was given a little bit more time on his life, with which he used that time, and he went to Haridwar and practiced bhakti yoga. What kind of bhakti yoga, we don't know. We can assume he practiced both Vaidhi bhakti and Raganuga bhakti. But either way, the real thing that's going on here is mercy. In one sense, we can say even the Raganuga, sadhana siddha devotees are cases of kripa siddha, because even the efficacy of sadhanas is ultimately dependent on Krishna's mercy. Therefore, we pray to Krishna for his mercy. That's the real essence. And we may make so many endeavors to go back to Godhead. We may make so many endeavors to chant offenselessly, or even if we're chanting offensively, we're trying to chant the best we can, but ultimately we're mercy cases. And therefore, rather than put our attention into trying to purify ourselves or to qualify ourselves for going back to Godhead, we put our attention into pleasing somebody who's already there in the form of his divine grace, our bona fide spiritual master, chiefly Srila Prabhupada. If we can get the mercy of the Lord's devotee, no one has ever gone back to Godhead or been liberated without getting the mercy of a Vaishnava, at least not in Krishna consciousness. So if we can get this person's mercy, the devotee's mercy, Srila Prabhupada's mercy, then we have some chance, because otherwise we look in the mirror and we see that all of our attempts are useless, all of our qualifications, well, we don't really have any qualifications. This is the attitude that, at least, that Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described. What does he say in the song Gurudev Kripa Bindudya? Anybody remember? Tomar Kurunasar. The only qualification I have is whatever mercy you've given me. Kichunahipai. If you look at me and try to figure out what is my yogyata, what is my qualification, or my yogyata means suitability, we don't really have any. Now, Sanatan Goswami has very nicely summarized this mood in what his younger brother, Rupa Goswami, called Ashabantha, in the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, he says, na prema shravanadir bhaktir abhiva yogothava vaishnavo jnanam va shubhakarma va kyadaho sadjatir apyasiva hinarthathika sadhake tvaitathapi achejimula sati he gopi janavallabha vyathayate ha ha madashaivamam. I don't have any prema. I'm not even attached to the process of developing prema, namely shravanadi. We know from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaya Adoy, our heart will become cleansed by the process of sadhana, beginning with Shravana. So he's lamenting. I'm not really even attached to that process. Even hearing. Hearing is the first thing. Then chanting can come after that. And he says, I'm not even into hearing. Bhakti Rabiva. Yogota vai Vaishnavo, I'm not a Vaishnava, I don't have any devotion, I haven't practiced the yoga even. Jnanam va shuvakarnama va, I don't have any knowledge, really. I don't have any history of pious activities to my name. Black history. Sadjatirapyastiva, and I'm not even born of a nice family, he says. We can say this. Sanatan Goswami was born in a Gaud Saraswat Brahmin family from Karnataka. And he had all the qualifications that he felt that he didn't have. But with ourselves, most of us, at least me, we can say like this, and it's all true. Hinarthatika sadhake. In the matter of sadhana, I'm bereft of any means, don't have any prospect of perfecting sadhana. Therefore is the significant thing here. Because if we don't have this piety, then it's not likely that we can really sustain a mature commitment to bhakti yoga, at least not pure devotional service. That Krishna says at the end of chapter 7 in Bhagavad Gita. So, hinatharika sadhake tvaitathapya chedya mulasati. And I don't see what I'm going to do. All I can do is humbly come before you and surrender and call out your holy name. Help! So this is our position. So Rupa Goswami has, on a little bit more encouraging note, he's addressed a similar kind of thing. He says, I don't remember the Sanskrit now, but he says, there's a nice verse, he says, I look at the devotional service that was performed by my predecessors, and I think, my God, how can I even approach that level of commitment and purity and advancement? He said, but then, when I think about how kind you are to your devotees, then I become a little bit encouraged. Dina bantuna iti namate smaran yada vendra patitoham utsahe. Your name, my dear Lord, is Dina Bantu. If you're not kind to the Dinas, like me, then for what purpose are you named Dina Bantu? Dina Bantu. And when I remember, when I hear about how much you love your devotees, then, although I'm thoroughly discouraged in every way, I become a little bit hopeful. My heart trembles when I hear of your love for your devotees. So similarly, there was a Braj poet. His name was Surdas. He wrote a similar song. He said, my dear Lord, you are you remove all the sufferings of those who are poor and fallen. And you are always the benefactor, the well-wisher of the saintly persons. He says, Ajamila gita vyada inake kehekon sadha. He said, as far as Ajamil is concerned, because we're discussing Ajamil, or for that matter, Jatayu, or so many other devotees, tell me, what sadhana did they ever do? And he says, similarly, Suradasa, this devotee's name is Suradas, he says, I'm standing at your door, blind, a beggar, just reminding you, in all these cases, you helped your devotee. So please help me. With this attitude, feeling ourselves more humble than the blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, ready to respect all the others, not expecting any honor in return, then we may have a chance to follow in the footsteps of a Jamil. Does anyone have any questions or comments? Yashachita Noi Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhu. We understand that in the beginning of his life, Jamila left his young wife and joined the other woman. And for the rest of his life, it appears that he lived with that woman, who was a called prostitute, but later on became so-called his wife. So I was thinking that she also, since that song is a product of both of them and they were living in the same house, she was also calling his song Narayan, 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 Narayan. And she was not probably thinking about worshiping Narayan or benefiting Narayan. So can you comment on that? She didn't get benefit.
This is an excellent question. I don't have an answer. I don't know that there can be an answer because, you know, the pivot here is causeless mercy. Where the Lord, where his mercy falls, who can say and why? Dasi, Dasi Pati. He was called the husband of the Dasi in a couple of verses ago. Why he was benefited and purified and not her. Hard to say. So that's Prabhu. I mean, Srila Prabhupada very clearly says here in this, at the end of his summary notes, that if one chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. That's a very strong statement. Past, present, and future sinful reactions are nullified. So what happened to this poor woman? She was equally Dina. She was equally poor to as a Jamil. Yeah, that, I mean, obviously if someone goes back to Godhead, then we also know from Lord Narasimhadev himself that 21 generations of his relatives are going to be liberated. What one god brother of mine calls gravy philosophy. He says the wife is like gravy, the husband is the main thing, and the wife, whatever happens with the husband, that's what happens to the wife also. Very good answer. Drita Karma, Prabhu, you had a comment? Amala Bhakti Prabhu just has one.
I'm trying to understand what is the nature of the offense, that offense, Namo.
Namno Baladhi Yasya Pavabuddhi.
Insight, is it that if one has committed a sinful activity and stops, it's okay to chant with the idea of removing one's reactions? Is it just an offense if one decides in the future to commit and commit a sinful activity with the idea that one will get some relief by chanting it? I'm trying to understand what the nature of the offense is.
That we can look into the extensive comments that acharyas like Bhaktivinoda and Haridas Thakur and others have made about this. I would look in Harinam Chintamani for that answer. Just looking at the text here, namno balad hi yasya papa buddhi. The term papa buddhi to me suggests that he's got the mentality of committing a sin. But it can equally express that he has the intention of committing a sin. So it's hard to say, and I wouldn't want to comment further than that without looking into the matter. A question that I have is that Prabhupada seems to consider that Ajamila's chanting would have been that nama aparadha. Prabhupada seems to indicate that he would have somehow known that he was committing sinful activities, and I don't see how that's the case, because Prabhupada also says he didn't know. So to know something, that means buddhi, to be aware of it. He wasn't aware. That's the most I can say for now, I think. Is that enough? Amala Bhakti Prabhu.
Yes, she was a prostitute, but when she was living with him, she becomes what they call a common law wife. Ordinary, regular marriages are done by usually a pastor or a minister or a justice of the peace, and it has some legality, it has some standing. Whereas a man and woman who just live together, and if they live long enough just together without any legal commitment, we call that just common law. So, the point is that since she was hearing the name of her son that I am, maybe as often, if not more often, than even her husband, Ajamila, she obviously was getting benefit based on everything we have read so far. Yeah. But it doesn't mean because a person receives benefit that benefit will necessarily manifest in an immediate going back to Godhead. Yeah. There's a schedule of karma that everybody brings into this world, and just as Ajamila was in his schedule, we obviously saw that up to 20 or 22 years of age, he was a Brahmin, very strict and very sincere. And then something happened. There was a turning point in his life. But the benefit of everything that he had done previously was still there in his, you might say, in his soul, his subconscious, and yeah. It was there. And, it was, and then again, when he was chanting the name Narayan, calling his son, every time he was saying that, it was reawakening.
Reached a critical mass.
Yeah. That's when Vishnu-dubis came in and he had the association of pure devotees, and then all that he had accumulated came into activity and brought him to ultimately God realization. In her case, it was also in abeyance there. It's been there, it's being accumulated. Mm. When it will explode, yeah. This is but far between her soul and Krishna.
Yeah.
But we know that there will be benefit.
Thank you. Yeah, three things I can say here. Number one, I think your point is that his wood was not so damp as her wood, to start with, because we know he had a pious background, and we don't know that she had a pious background, but we can reasonably assume that she wasn't so pious, to start with. Number two, his whole interaction with the Vishnu Dutas was precipitated by his death, which was presumably a karmic event. Unless this is Krishna arranged it just as a matter of Leela. And then number three, even she wasn't so fortunate as him, but as Swalas Prabhu pointed out already, that you know she would be liberated just by dint of her husband's liberation, because a wife naturally shares in her husband's punya. Yes.
I'm not taking too much time, but what really bothers me is on what basis is Krishna's mercy delivered? I mean, got instantaneous mercy, such as Ajami, and then I consider Srila Prabhupada himself, who, you know, he went through so many hardships, and he's a pure devotee. It took him 40 years to really spread the message. So why was Krishna so late in bestowing his mercy upon Srila Prabhupada himself?
That's a good question also. One thing is that we're not the ones to really arbit what Krishna's mercy is. Sometimes Krishna's mercy looks like it's something very tough. It looks like Krishna is being unkind to someone, and sometimes that's mercy. And sometimes when Krishna appears to be blessing someone, that may not necessarily be a blessing at all. Devotees kind of speak very, they bandy about the phrase Krishna's mercy pretty lightly sometimes. Oh, Krishna's mercy, I made all the green lights. if Krishna has more important things to worry about than whether we make our traffic light. That said, mercy is something that seems to be inscrutable. The quality of mercy is not strained, it droppeth as if a gentle rain from heaven, Shakespeare said. Who can determine that? The rain appears to be falling even on rocks and even on ocean, but that's what it does. It also falls where it's needed, in a parched area, but who can understand? I can't. I don't know. Anyone else? Whatever Krishna's mercy is, all of our sadhana, all of our endeavors, they're meant for invoking that mercy. That's the main thing. And particularly through the grace of somebody who's already got that mercy and is inclined to give it to us. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.